Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound. Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. Here I come to save the day. That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
I had to do it. I don't care who I piss off. Andy Kaufman, no secret, one of my favorite entertainers of all time. The originator, the OG of trolling. That guy could troll people like no other. And even though he did this much, not only in the world of pro wrestling, but in the world of entertainment, finally, he is going to be put into the WWE Hall of Fame. I am happy. As a pig in shit, I know a lot of you are out there as well. You know, we had this discussion not only for the last couple of weeks. We pretty much figured he was going in with the Hollywood theme, but it is official. It is official. Andy Kaufman going to be put in the WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, most of you out there will always remember him for being on David Letterman, getting slapped by Jerry the King Lawler. But, you know, we even had that conversation. We talked about that appearance yesterday on the sit-down episode. You know, Jim Cornette brought up a very good point recently that if Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman were practicing in the ring, working out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that day to go over their shit, and you happen to have a janitor or somebody, sure, they didn't have camera phones at that time, but if anybody would have leaked that out, would we still be talking about it like we do today? That's why, you know, even though we know what pro wrestling is, it is sports and entertainment. When I hear Undertaker saying that he wishes more people would, you know, live their gimmick a little bit more, you know, be in character more, protected character. You can still do that in 2023. You know, that's why I think we got so angry when we saw that backstage photo with MJF and Chris Jericho that time. You know, small little note, but we don't want to even think about the possibility that this person, whoever it is, may not necessarily be who we believe there is. Like, you always want, listen, the beauty about wrestling is one thing. It's one thing. Whether you're talking about a wrestler, or you're talking about a match, or you're talking about a character, or you're talking about a gimmick, whatever you want to bring up related to pro wrestling, there is one magic to it. There's one element, blurring the lines. Blurring the lines. Pro wrestling is at its best when lines are blurred. Whether it's what you're seeing in the ring, what you see outside the ring, anything related to wrestling, when the lines are blurred, that's commandment number one for me as far as pro wrestling goes. Blurred lines. You know, sometimes it crosses over into social media and some people don't know how to do it the right way. And that's why, you know, it doesn't come off all that well. But blurred lines, in my opinion, is commandment number one in pro wrestling. Anything related to wrestling, you focus on that. And Andy Kaufman, as small, think, even if you weren't alive when this guy was doing what he was doing, he protected pro wrestling and protected his images. Even outside of pro wrestling, you just look at his everyday life. You honestly had no idea. I mean, the Tony Clifton stuff has taken a life of its own in passing. Now, the only thing that we have to ask ourselves right now is, will Jerry Lawler be strong enough, healthy enough, to not only, you know, induct possibly Andy Kaufman in the Hall of Fame, but can he travel all the way to WrestleMania? That's the unknown, because he had his stroke in February. And even if he feels like $1 million, you know, there are a lot of precautions you have to make. So the big question is, who inducts Andy Kaufman if Jerry Lawler is not able to appear or may not be strong enough to induct him? I mean, the speech is not going to be that long, but, you know, this is going to be wearing. I think there's only one person, and that's Jimmy Hart. And believe it or not, you know, we love Jimmy Hart. He's almost 80 years old, you know, and we know him, you know, for so many managerial roles over the years. But for recent decades, you know, you do word association, Jimmy Hart, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, Jimmy Hart. But I think you would actually get a side of Jimmy Hart that we don't normally see. I think Jimmy Hart, just talking about Andy Kaufman, this would not be the Jimmy Hart that we're used to talking in the last couple of decades. So I personally think Jimmy Hart would be perfect if Jerry Lawler is unable to do it. So, but hey, we got a lot more. Listen, I love Andy Kaufman, but obviously he's not the focal point of tonight's show. We got a lot of stuff to get into. We got to discuss Raw. We got to discuss what went down tonight with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. They decided to hold off one more week before the beatdown, the physical assault. You know, originally, Roman Reigns was going to take out Cody Rhodes' assistance in reuniting, bringing back together Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. But tonight, they decided to add a last-minute twist to this. Cody Rhodes now trying to destroy not only Roman Reigns' title reign, but his entire bloodline. Cody Rhodes telling Roman Reigns tonight, and look, this will probably be the last time I wear the Dusty shirt, because they don't want to focus on Dusty. Like Cody said tonight, he's not going to come back. He's not going to hit the bionic elbow. You know, there's nothing you could say or do that's going to change any of that. This is about here and the now. And, you know, that's really where they should focus. But tonight, Cody Rhodes telling Roman Reigns that after this is all said and done, Jay's going to leave you. Jimmy's going to leave you. Solo's going to leave you. Wise Man will ultimately be returned as an advocate and basically saying that everybody is going to leave Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns will not only lose his championships. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about the tsunami that is coming for the bloodline. Yeah, it looks like it. And tonight, you know, throwing a little bit of a curveball with Solo Sikoa. You know, if you pay close attention tonight, Jey Uso fucked up big time. You know, if there was any doubt in your mind that Jey Uso was going to pause and maybe be a little bit, you know, sympathetic, you know, he still has a little bit of love for Sami Zayn somewhere. No, that is not the case. But tonight, Jey Uso fucked up big, because Jimmy Uso, when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn issued the WrestleMania challenge at the beginning of Raw, Jimmy Uso was willing to fight them, but no titles on the line. And Jimmy was going on like, you don't deserve a title shot, this, this, and that. And Jay interrupted Jimmy. Jimmy was fine with the Usos beating the shit out of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. But, you know, he said they don't deserve a title shot. Jey Uso stopped him and said, you want it, you got it. Jey Uso none fucked up. Later on, when Roman Reigns was in the back and confronting the Usos a little bit, hey, you know, not a good night to start off tonight. Got beat down a little bit. Jimmy Uso's like, it's all right. But as Jimmy Uso said, you know, there's nothing more. You can't hurt me. You can't hit me. There's nothing that will hurt me more than tearing me away from my brother. And to have to sit here and answer it, he will never forgive Sami Zayn for all of this. And Roman Reigns, you know, hopes that he's right. So Roman tells Solo, Wise Man, and Jimmy Uso leave the room. Jay, you stay here. So we go to commercial, we come back, and Roman is talking to Jay, and Roman is like, you know, what's going on? I haven't seen you in ages. I have to beg your brother to let me know what's going on. It's been a minute. I haven't heard from you. And now you're making decisions? That was earlier. If you're going to make decisions, are you in the bloodline? Are you still part of the family? And Jey Uso responds and says, I'm still with you. I'm still bloodline. Roman says, I hope so. That's all I needed to hear. Roman basically tells Jey Uso, I love you. He allows Jey to leave, but on his way out, he says, I love you. Jey did not say, I love you too, Uso. Just looked at Roman, left, and then Wise Man comes back in, and he's looking at Roman. He's like, you know, my tribal chief, did you find the answers that you were looking for? And Roman says, yes, Wise Man. So Roman Reigns, does he believe Jey Uso? We don't know. But later on in the night, I don't know why, but Roman Reigns is telling the Usos, well, through Paul Heyman, hey, we got shrimp, we got mahi-mahi, we got all this fucking fish on the plane. Go eat. Go pig out. Solo, you stay here. Because he wants Solo as his backup because he's going to be confronted by Cody Rhodes tonight. But in a twist, you know, and I will say this, I'm very surprised. I mean, you have to do it, obviously. This is the biggest match of WrestleMania 39. But if you pay attention to the ratings that we talk about every week, and I have all the ratings for you tonight, a lot of quarter hour segments, high points, low points. But, you know, if you allow me for a second, just to show you the effect of hour number three, let me tell you something. I don't make too many predictions here, unless I use sausage, but I will tell you that if WWE is not sold by summer and the deals are pulled off, WWE is off the market because they got to now focus on TV deals. I will make a prediction that when they renegotiate with the USA Network, they renegotiate for 2 hours. As much as I don't mind the third hour, it definitely gets draining at times. And listen, from 10 to 11 p.m., getting 1.4 million, 1.5 million is still a great number to get on any network at 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. But when you look at the overall scope of WWE, it is dramatic how much the ratings go down by the time we reach the 11 o'clock hour. And I'm going to go one step ahead and give you an example right now. Last week's Raw did 1,705,000 viewers. And by the way, tonight we're going to do a ratings, guess the ratings contest once again. I promised you all last week, we'll do it in about 10 minutes. So get ready. Don't do it yet, but it'll be in the live chat, and we're going to give away this signed Dominic Mysterio WWE rookie card. It is autographed. It is authentic. I have it on hand, and somebody will win that. So we'll do that in about 10 minutes. But let's go back to Raw of last week. Remember, last week's Raw main event was Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa in a street fight. And you have Cody Rhodes there. This is a couple of days before Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens realign with each other. But still, there was a lot of buzz that it could have happened last Monday on Raw. You know, there's quite a few people out there that thought it could happen last Monday on Raw. We figured it'd probably be more towards SmackDown. But check this out. The high point of Raw last week was the Cody Rhodes promo in the ring, Seth Rollins and The Miz backstage. That did 1,904,000 viewers. 1,009,000. Okay? Pretty damn good number. The lowest part of Raw last week was the main event. And that main event with Kevin Owens and Solo Sikoa, with all the Usos interruptions and Cody, you know, we thought maybe he tries to make the save, even though KO told them earlier, don't come out there, I don't need you. Maybe Sammy shows up anyway. That only did 1,457,000. In fact, the final moments, the final closing moments of that match barely broke 1.4 million. That is a 500,000 viewership drop. If WWE only did 2 hours on Raw, their ratings would look dramatically different than what they are now. Every time you factor in that third hour, it drops their average big time. And tonight, it's going to be really interesting to see what the final quarter is. Because by 11 o'clock, people don't care. They could see it on Twitter the next morning. They could go on YouTube. They could go on social media. They could watch the replay. You know, as much as it's must-see TV right now, what happens with Cody? What happens with Roman? What happens with others? For a lot of fans, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just see what happens tomorrow morning. And, you know, here's tonight a good example that you don't want to wait until 10:55 to do something like this, especially with that viewership drop. But it is what it is. And tonight, when they had that confrontation towards the end, you know, I loved Roman's back and forth with Cody Rhodes. And yes, they went there with AEW. Because Roman says to Cody, look, you didn't want to be Stardust, so you picked up and left. You quit. You walked out. You picked up and left. Then you go and you start your own wrestling promotion and you couldn't get over, so you pick up and you left. You come here and obviously gets the injury. Your body can't handle it. Everywhere you go, you don't succeed. You pick up and you leave. And, you know, it was great. I mean, it's, you base it on reality, and it always works, you know. And Cody, listen, there's a lot of people online that don't want Dusty Rhodes as the focal point of this storyline, and I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, to do this for the Rhodes family, to do this because your father never became World Wrestling Entertainment, World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, absolutely, tributes galore. But for wrestling fans, they want to see Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes beat the shit out of each other. And they want it based on 2023. And, you know, they're paying attention. They're paying very close attention online. You know, as I always say, social media is a tiny, tiny, tiny little percentage of the overall fan base. You know, you look at stuff like Omos and Brock Lesnar. You pay attention to the net. It's the worst fucking thing imaginable. I didn't want that match. I admit it. But then you find out, you know, on social media, 10 million views. 10 fucking million views. You know, when you hear, oh, this person is not really over, and then you go to watch the live show on TV, and it's overwhelmingly the reverse. You know, social media sometimes doesn't actually match up with the average wrestling fan. I think it was Corey Graves that said, look, Brock Lesnar versus Omos is not for the everyday wrestling fan. This is more two giant men colliding. You know, it's Clash of the Giants. And we're going to get 5 minutes of, we don't know. Hopefully it's great. But it's an attraction. It's not about, you know, having, you know, four-star match or deep, deep, deep storyline. Look at MVP's promo tonight. MVP's promo tonight. Omos comes out, squashes Mustafa Ali in about 30 seconds. Dolph Ziggler is shown in the back looking at the match in disgust. Mustafa Ali and Dolph Ziggler will be a tag team in the near future, and they hope to get some comedy gold between those two guys. We will see. But after the match is over, MVP gets on the mic and basically just says two sentences. Omos does not fear any man, any animal, or any beast. And at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar is going to learn to fear the Nigerian giant. That's it. Gone. Gone. No five-minute promos, no two-minute promos, just two sentences and out of there. This is about an attraction. That's really all this is. It's an attraction. So, you know, but that twist with Cody Rhodes, you know, and did you pay attention to the line at the very end? When Cody Rhodes, you know, was trying to get through Solo Sikoa. And Solo Sikoa is in the ring and he's staring down Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns is already out of the ring with Paul Heyman, and Roman turns around. He's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Solo, now! Get your ass over here! And Solo is like, you know, he's almost like he's got to wake up. And as he's leaving, Cody Rhodes says, see, you weren't ready. I told you you weren't ready. Shades of John Cena and Austin Theory. You want to take someone and you really want to belittle them, especially when they are newer or younger than a lot of others, tell them they're not ready when they believe that they're ready. And that pissed him off. And he wanted to go with Cody Rhodes. First time he did it, Cody kicked him right in the mouth with his dress shoes. Second time Solo went at Cody, now Roman pulls him. What the fuck you doing? Get out of the ring. And now it puts that little seed of doubt. Will we get the moment that the Usos walk away from Roman Reigns? Solo Sikoa follows them, walks away from Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman, I don't think, walks away from Roman Reigns. I think Paul Heyman will stick with him. But are they planting the seed? Now, listen, you know, you look at, and I'm not trying to compare storylines, but you look at AEW, you know, when they had the Inner Circle. You know, we had that a few times. You know, oh, we're better than ever. And then 2 weeks later, oh, you know, we have to have this meeting, you know, that teasing a breakup. You know, and you get a tease back and forth. They're teasing it right now that this could end up being a dismantling of the bloodline. Now you go into the summertime and you think to yourself, will Jey Uso ultimately become a face? A lot of people think that Jey Uso should get a small run as a single star. I don't necessarily agree with that because everybody is basing that on his acting. Jey Uso, listen, when people say, too bad, like, awards outside of wrestling, you know, don't apply for WWE, Jey Uso, his performances are up there with anybody. And I'm not talking about cutting promos. I'm just talking about the facial features, the gestures, the mannerisms, you know, just everything that that guy has done. Did you ever in a million years ever look at Jey Uso that way and be like, holy shit, this motherfucker probably does it better than anybody in this entire storyline? But again, you're not basing it on the in-ring. Now, the only scenario I could see is down the line, maybe Jey Uso does get the victory over Roman Reigns. See, the problem back in the beginning of the pandemic was that nobody was touching Roman Reigns with a 10-foot pole. They were in rebuild mode, and they were doing everything they possibly could to rebuild Roman, and it worked. But in the end, Jey Uso really didn't get what he deserved or wanted or expected. That's why even now, Sammy teases to Jey Uso, you want to befriend Roman. You know, when the Usos are cutting a promo on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn earlier and saying, like, you two guys are going to backstab each other. And, you know, they immediately, Sammy throws it back in Jay's face. No, you know, you're going to backstab Roman eventually. And now you got Cody Rhodes teasing that as well. And in the end, you know, will Roman Reigns end up losing his entire bloodline? It's going to, listen, even though it is heavily rumored that Roman Reigns is going to be taking time off after WrestleMania, needs a physical and an emotional break, and I expect to see some of that. But if you pay attention, a lot of these upcoming events, Roman Reigns is advertised, and I don't think Roman is going to take a six-month leave or a three-month leave. He may cut back his appearances a little bit, but you now look at it. We may go into the summer or even the fall, and the bloodline are just intertwined with each other in storyline. You know, you look at AEW and Ricky Starks, okay? May not be the best comparison, but it's probably the best one we could use for now. Ricky Starks had that exchange with MJF, and people were like, oh, this should be a 3 to 6 month feud. I mean, just absolutely awesome. He had the one match with MJF, and then shortly after it, here comes the Jericho Appreciation Society. And now for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it's everything with Ricky Starks and the Jericho Appreciation Society. A lot of people think that this is what's going to happen now with maybe Wardlow and, you know, QT Marshall's group, that he's going to have to go through every member to get back to Hobbs. And the next thing you know, 2 months go by, 2.5 months, 3 months, and you see one person intertwined with the same group of people. That could happen with the bloodline going into the summer and the fall. We may see the Usos, Solo Sikoa, and Roman Reigns just intertwined with each other. Now, you will definitely see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos on house shows. Absolutely. You'll probably see it on dark matches as well. But as far as TV goes, we'll probably see a lot of infighting. And that will go for a while. And listen, props to everyone out there who is still convinced Roman Reigns is winning at WrestleMania. There's a lot of you out there that think he's going to go to 1,000 days, and that's fine. I disagree for my reasons, which I brought up. In fact, here's a little cheap plug. I didn't get to plug this last Monday because it hadn't recorded yet. But last week, yours truly and Kevin Castle, we brought back the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show for a night, almost 3 hours. We did a boatload of previewing for WrestleMania. If you have not downloaded it yet, go to DonTony.com. I need to repeat this. It's not on YouTube because the entrance, the intro music, stuff like that, we would get hammered with copyrights. You got to go to DonTony.com to download it. If you want another episode, we got to hear from you, because I brought this up yesterday for a brief moment. It was pretty eye-opening. Over the last 3 days, not one podcaster, not one show, not one person who over the years had always said, oh, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have found this, and we helped them this. And I don't need it, and Kevin certainly doesn't need it, but it's a nice gesture to see it. Nothing. Zero. Then people are bringing to my attention some Reddit pages, Facebook pages, of the same group of people that claim that, oh, the AEW fringe left is toxic and the WWE haters towards AEW is toxic and all the, you know, forcing Rio off Twitter and all this other stuff is toxic. And meanwhile, these people are even worse. I was blown away at how angry some people got that we did a show together again. It's almost as if they need us to still hate each other also. It was kind of mind-boggling. I mean, will they sway us in any way? No. We don't do the shows for them. But, you know, for the certain people out there, you know, and understand this, these are people that tuned into us 10 years ago. So if they were 15 years old 10 years ago, now they're 25. If they were 25 10 years ago, now they're 35. If they were in their 30s 10 years ago, now they're in their 40s, and they still act like they're 15 years old. Like going out of your way, that's a hard pass. I'd rather scratch my balls with a cheese grater before tuning into their stuff. You didn't hurt our feelings. But that's what you see, that tiny little element out there. So, but tune into the episode, and if you want us to do another one, we definitely want to hear from you. Speak up. Spread the word. You know, give us a reason why we should do another one. So, but we had fun. We had fun. All right. Let's get into some more tips. Oh, well, one last thing. We keep having this discussion, and now I think WWE is not going to announce who is going to main event night one of WrestleMania. Is Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley a WrestleMania main event? Yes, it is. Is Bianca Belair versus Asuka a main event at WrestleMania? Yes, it is. Even if they don't close out WrestleMania and then the next to last match of the night, that would be classified as a co-main event. The big, you know, and I understand why, and we've kind of talked about this before, but the big buzz online as far as who closes out WrestleMania, the reason why it's important for a lot of people is because when you sleep with someone or you play pocket pool, you know, the finale is where you enjoy the most. You know, the finale is where everything peaks. You don't want this match to go on early or 2-3 matches early and have that roller coaster ride of emotion. If Charlotte Flair retains over Rhea Ripley, you imagine the anger online by a lot of people. You go off for WrestleMania, you go off TV with this. Even though Charlotte would have fireworks and this and that, and it would look like beautiful pomp and circumstance, you're going to anger a lot of fans going into night two. If Rhea Ripley wins, and Rhea Ripley, without a doubt, she is on her fucking game. But her, even tonight with her promo, you know, again, something is missing with this feud. Now, last Monday on this show, I said Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair need that Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, whoever, you know, pull apart where officials cannot stop it and they just brawl and diving over tables, stuff like they need that wild shit. And we got it on SmackDown. And tonight again, Rhea Ripley, cool, calm, collected. Oh, Charlotte, you don't think I'm a champion. But at WrestleMania, you will be forced to respect me. You're done, you're washed. Like, very calm, very cool. Something feels off. You know, it's too much. Like, she spent 2 minutes tonight telling us how Charlotte Flair perceives Rhea Ripley to be. And Rhea's just calm as a cucumber. And this is not a knock on Rhea Ripley. But even if she does win, you know, you're not going to see her crying in the ring and everybody is on their feet and she's acknowledging the fans and this and that. You know, people want to see Rhea Ripley win. I want to see Rhea Ripley win. But going off the air night one with her in the air, yeah, people will think that that was a political statement. I'm telling you, I'm telling you. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I will be shocked if I'm wrong. This match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos, is closing out night one of WrestleMania. Sorry that these people have male genitalia, not female genitalia. Sorry that it's not women. There's a lot of people the last couple of days trying to play reverse psychology online, saying, oh, you know, the rumors are that, you know, this is going to, Charlotte and Rhea are going to close out night one and blah, 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 to stir it up. But meanwhile, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want to keep this so big that it almost forces WWE to change their hand. They're not changing their hand. WWE, they got tens of millions of views of what happened Friday with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's not even 72 hours, and they have gotten tens of millions of views. You look at the rating, you look at the peaks, you look at the attention, you look at everything with this storyline. You're not going to put it aside because it's going to make a very small group of people out there feel good that, oh, the women get a night, the men get a night. This is an entertainment fucking business. And it's up for sale. They're going to maximize anything they possibly can. Sorry, this is not the year that a women's match closes WrestleMania. It's not anti-woman. You could blame WWE creative. You could blame whatever you want, and that's fine. But you are not going to take, which is obviously the biggest emotional part of the night, and have people go on this hilly ride and then go off the air with something that's a little bit less lackluster. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of people online that are clickbaiting you, that are forcing you to interact. The same people that up until that night was convincing you that Shawn Michaels was going to wrestle Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver. The people that up to that night that Mercedes Moné was debuting in AEW. Up to that night that other things were happening and they didn't happen. It's not going to happen. I would be surprised, shocked. You don't base this on politics. You base it on business. You base it on numbers. You base it on emotion. It's not rocket science. You just, and like I said yesterday, you close your eyes and you just picture Charlotte Flair going off the air on top, winning. Picture Rhea Ripley going off the air on top, winning. Then think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going off the air on top, winning. You tell me if there is any remote reason outside of you know, gender why they wouldn't close out WrestleMania. Listen, people aren't stupid. And WWE is very predictable. WWE, it's about business. You know, when you get episodes of Raw and there's only one woman's match, or you get a very small amount of content, even SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, there was no women's match on an episode. You know, they're not going to throw matches on there just to appease a small group of people. Sometimes the storylines and the people dictate a certain way you go. You don't take the biggest night of them all, the biggest show of the year. You know, do you realize you're going to have executives at WrestleMania that are going to be looking to buy WWE? You're going to find out, it's common sense, you're going to find out there's going to be people at WrestleMania that are going to be in the luxury boxes, and they're going to see up close and personal what WWE and WrestleMania is all about. And they're not going to go off night one with Rhea Ripley or Charlotte Flair with the belt held up in the air. I'm sorry. Again, it's not any disrespect to either one of those women. I think deep down inside, even they would say, look, the biggest storyline is the bloodline. The bloodline has shown repeatedly. There's no argument here. People want to make political points. You take the political points aside, there's no argument. There's no argument at all. Speaking of Rhea Ripley, she must have felt like $1 million tonight. Not only did she get to face Bayley, who's been around a little bit longer than Rhea Ripley, but she also got to interact with Dakota Kai and Io Sky, and she got to, you know, have Trish Stratus and Lita, along with Becky Lynch, at ringside as well. You know, you had all of these women around the ringside area, and all the focus was on Rhea Ripley. That was a pretty cool fucking moment today. Now, it was a little bit bizarro, you know, with Bayley. Because let's be honest, when Rhea Ripley cut her promo on Charlotte, oh, Charlotte, no Charlotte Flair tonight, but Bayley comes out. And Bayley starts cutting a promo on Rhea. You know, I don't know what the purpose would be. We know what the purpose was, but it really didn't make any sense. And Rhea Ripley's like, Bayley, I know where you're going. I don't need your help. And for some reason, Bayley is extremely triggered over it. Oh, I had a feeling you were going to say that. So damage control is going to beat the shit out of you. Or better yet, I'm going to face you one-on-one. And next thing we know, we get Rhea Ripley versus Bayley, and it was a good match. And it was fun to see damage control at ringside fighting with Trish and Lita a little bit, getting a little bit of, you know, work and just pushing this a little bit further. In the end, Rhea Ripley went riptide to Bayley and gets the win. But, you know, at the same time, though, something feels off with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. Tonight, it was interesting. Asuka and Bianca Belair defeated Chelsea Green and Piper Nevin. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about when she was Doudrop, that they kept putting Doudrop in matches with Bianca Belair for one reason and one reason only. For that John Cena visual of picking up someone that would be comparable as the Big Show, you know, or the Great Khali on his shoulders. They have had so many matches just to have the visual of Bianca Belair picking up Piper Nevin and hitting her with the KOD, and it's impressive, man. It is absolutely impressive. I don't get sick of it, but that is the reason why this match went on tonight. And that's the reason why Piper Nevin ended up Chelsea Green's partner. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, didn't we get some storyline where Piper Nevin was in the back with Chelsea Green and she was like, don't ever interrupt my match ever again? Wasn't there something? And tonight, the chummy. And we got that tag match. Carmella was not involved in the match. I don't know why she wasn't there, but this was tonight solely to showcase Bianca's strength, picking up Piper Nevin, hitting her with the KOD, and getting the win. But after the match was over, Asuka lays out Bianca Belair. Very interesting response. A lot of boos from the crowd. And if you think that that's expected, Rhea Ripley facing Bayley tonight, as over as Rhea Ripley is with the WWE Universe, and they acknowledge, and we all acknowledge how great Rhea Ripley is, there's a lot of chance for Bayley tonight. And Bayley and Damage Control are obviously big-time heels. And even face-to-face, the fans were more behind Bayley. At times. So, those were some of the other matches tonight. Now, a couple of other things. Let's fill in the blanks a little bit. Austin Theory over Montez Ford in a very good match. You know, hopefully we'll forget about this tremendous win-loss record. And I say that negatively towards the Street Profits. We've talked about it since SummerSlam. The Street Profits, if you look at their win losses, it is pretty surprising. You'd be very surprised how much. It might even be on the level of some of what FTR was going through last year. You know, people didn't pay close attention as to how many losses they actually did have. You know, they had some very impressive wins, obviously. But Street Profits, since SummerSlam, they've had some moments here and there, but they have zero momentum. The match tonight with Austin Theory was great. I expect Austin Theory and Montez Ford to have a match in the future. Will we look back on it and compare it to John Cena and Randy Orton when they were very early in their WWE career and they faced off and then later on they ended up having... Could it be on that level? I wouldn't say on that level, but it definitely could be. Listen, Montez Ford and Austin Theory may end up being one of the rivalries that we may be looking back on 5 years from now. But hopefully we will quickly forget about the Street Profits, you know, lack of wins, because Saturday we talked about two fatal four-way matches announced for WrestleMania 39. There's going to be a women's fatal four-way tag team match and a men's fatal four-way tag team match. On SmackDown, they did one qualifying match for the women's side, and that was Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez over Emma and Tegan Knox, if I recall. So we don't know the other three women's tag teams in this fatal four-way. Chelsea Green tonight was teasing that it's going to be her and Carmella. They are going to take a spot in that match, and very well could happen because they're playing the storyline that Chelsea Green is a very annoying thorn in Adam Pearce's side. So Adam Pearce may give them a spot just to get her off his back. So they probably will absorb one of those spots. But on the men's side, they already announced the participants. And if you remember Saturday's show, I think we actually nailed every team. I think we nailed every team in conversation. We figured the Street Profits. We figured Braun and Ricochet. We were hoping for Alpha Academy. We didn't know about that team because of the storyline with Maxxine Dupri. But the Viking Raiders, you kind of felt that that was going to happen. So this is an official match for WrestleMania 39. Street Profits versus Viking Raiders versus Braun and Ricky, as Otis called them today, and Chad Gable and Otis. So now the thing is, are we going to get heartbreak at WrestleMania that Otis is going to officially complete the turning his back on Chad Gable and walking off of Maxxine Dupri? I have a feeling. I have a feeling that Otis and Chad Gable are going to turn babyface. I think during that match, we may have a moment where Maxxine Dupri shows up and she tries to convince Otis, come with me, come with me. Why is Maxxine being such a bitch to Chad Gable? You're like, you think about it in storyline, what's her problem with Chad Gable? But I think what may end up happening is we'll probably see Otis do one of these. Remember when he used to do that? Remember with the whole thing with Sonya Deville back then? Remember who was laid out in the corner? Was it Liv Morgan was laid out in the corner? And he was like, I don't know if anybody remembers that backstage segment, but I think we're going to get that with Otis, that he's going to look at her and look at Chad and look at her and look at Chad, and Chad is going to, and I think Otis is going to turn around and say no to Maxxine Dupri, and we'll probably get that big pop from the crowd. The only thing is, could they pull it off and end up winning it? So I honestly think the Street Profits need this win probably more than anybody else. But, you know, hey, we still got a little less than 2 weeks to do predictions. So, but that is one of the matches that they announced for WrestleMania 39. By Friday, we should know at least two of the other teams. And then next Monday, they'll probably announce Carmella and Chelsea Green. As long as Carmella is not injured, that prevents her from being at WrestleMania. So we will see what happens. Logan Paul did his impulsive TV. And you know what? I apologize. I just realized we started talking about Raw and we didn't do the contest yet. We'll do it in 5 minutes, I promise. So let's just wrap up just a Raw recap because we're almost done. We already talked about most of it. Logan Paul, impulsive TV. It was really funny because Logan Paul is in the back and he sees The Miz. And, you know, The Miz goes to shake his hand. Logan Paul looks at him and he doesn't oblige. Logan Paul is walking with his dad. And Logan Paul's dad is like, who is that? I thought that was funny. But, you know, just Logan Paul, you know, not, you know, giving in anything to The Miz. And by the way, speaking of The Miz, if you go on WWE social media accounts, they have something called WrestleMania the Musical. And it's basically Miz and Maryse singing, dancing. I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it is very, very goofy. So you might want to check that out. I'm still holding out hope that LA Knight is a co-host for WrestleMania. I think that'll happen. And by the way, we had the conversation yesterday about the leaked photos. People brought to my attention that Austin Theory also was a victim of having photos released. I have not looked at the Austin Theory photos. I have no idea. And honestly, I'm not looking to check them out. So, but Logan Paul does his impulsive segment tonight. And he hits the ring and he's disrespecting St. Louis, bringing up the Rams. He's like, I don't have any guests today because none of my celebrity friends would dare show up in St. Louis. And Logan Paul, you know, that the fans don't want to acknowledge, you know, how good that he is. And that's fine with him. He actually gives some props to Seth Rollins, considers him a top three performer. But he still thinks at WrestleMania he's going to beat Miz, beat Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is in the back playing with production. Seth Rollins takes his sweet-ass time coming to the ring. And as we showed in the preview earlier today, Seth Rollins was crashing Logan Paul's party. But in the end, Seth Rollins was laid on his stomach, laid out. Seth Rollins hits the ring and immediately starts brawling with Logan Paul. They start brawling to the outside over the commentator's table. One cool moment, Logan Paul is standing on the commentator's table and Seth Rollins pulls the rug from underneath him. So he takes a nice spill. Seth Rollins, little scary moment, climbs the top rope, dives onto a couple of security guys, looked like he landed awkwardly, but we realized he was okay because he went at it with Logan Paul again. Logan Paul punched him again, knocked him out. So this is two times now that Logan Paul was able to knock out Seth Rollins. You know, there's a lot of people that actually would be fine with Seth Rollins and Logan Paul closing out WrestleMania Night 1. That absolutely is not going to happen. But good segment tonight. Good segment. Logan Paul, man, listen, you know, what he said is true. He doesn't have to do WWE. He's made his millions. He's still making millions. Some people question the origin of some source of some of his income, but he does this because he loves WWE, you know, and you have to admit, the guy actually shows up. You know, he's definitely takes this very seriously, and I will always appreciate that. You know, I'm not a fan of Logan Paul. I don't tune into any of his stuff, but you could acknowledge that the guy definitely takes this pro wrestling very, very seriously, and I give him props for that. Dominic Mysterio beating Johnny Gargano. Clean. A little surprising with Johnny Gargano taking on Grayson Waller in 2 weeks. I would have thought Grayson Waller could have interfered, knocked him out, do something. We didn't get that. After the match is over, we may get the match official this Friday. Dominic gets on the mic, starts putting down his father again. Ray's not there tonight. Dominic says that he has an idea that he thinks he's going to get what he wants. This Friday on SmackDown, the Mysterio family will be there. He talks about how his family blocked him, you know, I guess on chats or whatever. And he says that that's fine. On Friday, he's going to confront his mother. We kind of talked about this 2 weeks ago. Like, please, we don't want the potted plant because we don't know. Remember when we talked about Helen Hart? You know, she might be like a Latino Helen Hart with her reaction, but he is going to confront his mother. And he said today about Ray. What did he say? He said, let's see what you do when I confront mom on Friday. That's if you take your balls out of mom's purse. So Dominic is going to troll his family on Friday. Will this get Ray to accept the match? I think it happens. I know a lot of people think the Hall of Fame, Dominic shows up, lays out Conan or lays out Ray, and that's where I think you have to put your matches out there. You know, we know this match is going to go down, you know, whether it happens on night one or night two. You know, I have a feeling it may go down night one. And the reason why I think so is because I think Rhea Ripley and Dominic, they have like an appearance for night two, and Rhea Ripley would have already had her match. So I think Dominic and Ray could end up being on night one as well. Now, something else tonight that happened that I am really, really excited to see. Some people with the storyline don't like it, which I'm surprised at how many people have done this tonight. And that has to do with Finn Balor and Edge. Edge shaving a lot of his facial hair, you know, with the candles and the dark lighting, or no lighting, I should say, other than a couple of candles, looking very, very evil, and cutting a tremendous promo about Hell in a Cell. And he's talking about the dead man baptizing him in hell. You know, he's already been baptized in hell by the Undertaker, by the dead man. And Edge doesn't want Finn Balor at WrestleMania. He wants the demon to face the devil. And you'd be surprised how many people online, I think I'm kidding, just go look. Not everybody, but a good amount. They're like, nah, man, Finn Balor, Judgment Day, has nothing to do with demons and stuff like that. You know, that's not Finn Balor's character anymore. Well, guess what? You know, when Finn Balor was in the Bullet Club, you know, doing the Too Sweet and all that other shit, or, you know, I was, you know, Too Sweet. When he did the demon character, I never saw the demon showing up, you know, doing the Too Sweet. You know what I mean? So lighten up. We're going to see a spectacle. He's going to do his whole entrance. He hasn't done it in years. Was he the demon when he tripped over the ropes that time in the match with Roman? I don't remember if he had the makeup on that night. For some reason, I kind of feel like he did. Michael says that he did. Because I always remember that night. I'm like, man, I don't want the last visual of the demon fucking tripping over ropes. This is going to be tremendous. We're going to see spectacle. And we're going to get the demon versus the devil at WrestleMania. That's going to be phenomenal. You look at this card up and down. This is what we have right now. We have the Fatal 4-Way men's tag team match. We don't know yet, I don't believe, if they're going to get a title shot. I almost feel like it's got to happen. I think you got to have, you know, I don't like showcase. I hate the term showcase with these matches. If you put Charlie Dempsey or Chase University or the Schism, you know, that's a showcase match. To me, showcase means, you know, we're going to introduce some people or some things you really haven't seen before. And we want to showcase. You know, it's like, okay, you know, we want to see the best. You know what I mean? Like, everybody in the match have been around. Why they have to showcase themselves? I'm not a big fan of the name, but that's what we got so far. So we got the men's and the women's Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. We have, as we mentioned tonight, the Usos defending the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. We have Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch versus Damage Control. Brock Lesnar versus Omos next week is going to be a weigh-in and a brawl. We'll probably have that crazy pull apart that we're hoping for. Edge versus the Demon, Finn Balor, in Hell in a Cell. Bianca Belair versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre in a three-way. Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul. Austin Theory versus John Cena for the United States Championship. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. And we should get Rey Mysterio and Dominic, I hope, made official on Friday. I mean, that is a pretty phenomenal card, if you ask me. If you look at the number of matches here, we got 4, 8, 11. So you add Dominic and Rey, that's 12. Now, some of these matches are going to go long, but 6 matches per night? When was the last time we had even with the 2 nights, but do you recall any of those nights really only having 6 matches? I'm sure they're going to add 1 or 2. But I think 7 matches on each night, I think, is pretty manageable. I think it's manageable. I think, you know, we will get the 4 hours. I mean, we're going to be exhausted by Sunday night. But, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, we've had WWE events that had 13 matches. AEW had pay-per-views that had 14 matches. So that is the card for right now, and I think it is very, very strong, very strong. So let's do that ratings predictions contest. So now, for those that may be new to the channel or never played before, I'll give you instructions. Very, very easy. Just go to the chat room now. Be ready to type. Last week's Raw rating was 1 million. Let me pull it up. 1,705,000. Now, remember what we had tonight. Remember what was advertised tonight. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. You know, obviously we didn't expect Sammy or Kevin because they weren't advertised, but they did appear. So just keep that rating in the back of your mind. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on the screen. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to put on the screen the chat. Let's get that out of there. And then in a few seconds, I'm going to type the word go. And you have about 30 seconds to type what you believe tonight's Raw rating will be. Whoever comes closest will win the Dominic Mysterio WWE signed rookie card. So whoever, you know, comes closest will win that. And we'll announce the winner next week. And if you delete your entry or if you type a second one, if you type a second one, I'm going to take you first anyway. If you delete an entry, then you got to be disqualified. Sorry. You know, some people, you know, try to be a little cute with their rating, you know, after somebody types one. And that's fine. But you only got one shot and it's only going to be 30 seconds. So get ready. Type in 3, 2, 1, go. So between my go in the live chat and contest over, which I am getting ready, just type what you think the Raw rating will be. If you win it, keep it, sell it, burn it, give it away. I don't care. It's yours. By the way, I think we have 1 or 2 contests that we're going to do soon for some prizes that were never claimed. Unfortunately, after a week, 10 days, if you don't claim your prize, you know, I got to give it to someone else. I hate having to tell someone that, but, you know, it is what it is. So, all right, we're going to wrap this up. So here's your last shot. Just in the chat, type what you think the rating for Raw tonight will be. So let's do a 10-second countdown because we want to get into a few more things and get out of here soon. So 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Contest over. Good luck to everybody who participated. We will announce the winner next week. All right. Undertaker was on last week with Ariel Helwani. And some interesting discussions coming out of it. I haven't checked out his comments yet on CM Punk. I heard he made some remarks about CM Punk that were very, very complimentary towards CM Punk. It'll be very interesting when CM Punk does an interview, whoever that that person is and interviews him, brings up what The Undertaker said. During his interview with Ariel Helwani, he mentioned his Mount Rushmore in pro wrestling. And I was very, very surprised at the names that he chose. And for those out there that aren't aware, this is the Mount Rushmore that he came up with. Andre the Giant, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan. And it took him a little bit extra time to say Hulk Hogan. I think he was biting his lip, biting his tongue as he said it. What do you think about Undertaker's wrestling Mount Rushmore? I will say this. The more I see people posting Mount Rushmores, some people have Bryan Danielson in their Mount Rushmore. Some people have Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. I think what we have to, yes, Dream, you're one step ahead of me. Props to you. I think what we got to start interpreting this and accepting it is that there is no clear-cut Mount Rushmore in pro wrestling. If you want to do it by generations, you could do it by generations. But in the end, you know, there is no unified answer. I mean, look, no one would ever be 100% behind certain people, but there is no perfect answer. I think what we got to start accepting is whoever out there offers their Mount Rushmore, even Ric Flair. And I remember, I don't remember his picks, but I remember one or two, and I was like, eh. I think what we got to start looking at it as that person's favorites or who influenced them the most. Because I'll give you a great example with Undertaker's Mount Rushmore, Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant, I loved when I used to go to wrestling and see him up close and personal. It was incredible to be a little kid and see somebody that big. And he was so beloved. My grandmother loved Andre the Giant. You know, got the privilege of meeting him a few times. But the thing is, Andre the Giant, even at his peak, you know, in the 70s, you know, was he the cornerstone for WWF? And I say no. He was a special attraction. You know, when you went to the Garden, even in the 80s, because I started going in the Garden in the early 80s, you know, Andre, if he was on the card, it was a bonus. It was a special attraction. But he was not the one that everybody was selling out the Garden to see. So Andre the Giant influenced Undertaker to become the wrestler that he is, Giant, whatever. But as far as overall scope of pro wrestling, I would never in a million years ever put Andre the Giant on a Mount Rushmore. But that is Undertaker's list. So Bray Wyatt is still battling an illness. Some people think it's the C word. I don't know. Unfortunately, none of the journalists out there, as myself and pretty much all of you, we're not friends with Bray Wyatt. And people out there are not friends with his friends. And people are keeping it very tight-lipped. I will tell you this. I will say this. Do not take this as news. But I will say this. The term illness, that word is being used exclusively. And some people have interpreted the term illness differently than what you would normally expect it to be. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. I know it's very vague. And the reason why it's vague is out of respect to Bray Wyatt, because I'm not going to assume what the illness is. But very, very interesting to have somebody who I trust tell me over the weekend that that term that they're using is very strategic. You know, it's not just people like, oh, he got sick, or, you know, if he got the C, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I mean, after years of this, I mean, shit happens. I mean, some people get it, you know, but very interesting to hear that they're using that term strategically. Personally, I think if Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley happen at WrestleMania, let it be a surprise. We talked about it last week when John Cena was only, not too long ago, that John Cena was calling out The Undertaker. And up until WrestleMania, we didn't even have a match. And John Cena showed up, and the next thing you know, The Undertaker went at it with him. If Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley happens at WrestleMania, you could simply have Bobby Lashley go to the ring, cut a promo, I'm pissed off, I don't have a match, Bray Wyatt wasn't man enough to confront me, this and that. Next thing you know, the lights go off. And then Bray Wyatt comes out, they're face-to-face, and they have the match. This is not a match, and I'm a big Bray Wyatt fan. I mean, obviously a Bobby Lashley fan too, but I think we could all agree on this. This is not one of the matches that people were really looking forward to seeing. Most of us were very, very confused with the idea of this match. Early on, some people were like, oh, maybe it's going to be the Hurt Business versus the Wyatt family, which would have been ridiculous because what are you going to do, reveal a whole bunch of people in a matter of a month? You know, we don't even know who Uncle Howdy is yet, officially. So that never seemed was going to go in that direction. But at this point, since it was not a match really high on anybody's list, just have Bobby Lashley hit the ring and just make an impromptu. I don't think anybody would complain. Jesus, look at John Cena and The Undertaker. Nothing against Bobby Lashley or Bray Wyatt, but think about the names John Cena and The Undertaker, Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. The magnitude, how important, how big those wrestlers are, John Cena and The Undertaker, and up until WrestleMania night, the match was never announced. Is it going to be that big of a deal? I think some people would probably enjoy the surprise. Bobby Lashley shows up. I'm pissed. I don't have a match. Bray Wyatt wasn't man enough to confront me. The lights go off. Everybody would be like, oh, fuck, he's here. I think the surprise element would probably pop even more. So let's see what happens. They're not doing Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross. That I can guarantee you. But all right. Saturday we had some fun, and we took notice of something that didn't seem right here. And this was the tail of the tape that WWE put out there, or BT Sport specifically. And they were basically doing the tail of the tape with Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, and they put Charlotte Flair at 5'7". And we were kind of baffled on Saturday. We're like, I know she wears boots, but 5'7", that's my wife's height. And, you know, my wife, I'm not saying that my wife is small, but my wife is 5'7". And I'm like standing next to my wife over the weekend, and I'm saying to myself, there ain't no fucking way if I met Rhea Ripley at an airport. You tune in to the news today, you know why I'm saying that. If I met her, you mean to tell me if I said, hey, Rhea, you want to take a picture, that I'm going to stand next to Rhea Ripley and she's going to be up to my chest? I mean, let that sink in for a little bit. Anyway, Rhea Ripley did clear the air, and she said she's not 5'7". I think she said she was 5'10 or 5'11". So, yeah, she is not 5'7". So whoever wrote that, I'm pretty surprised. Ben says she's listed as 5'9 online. That's fine. That is still not 5'7". This says 5'7". All right. And listen, if she's 5'9", that's only 1 inch shorter than Charlotte Flair. If you look at Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley face to face, yeah, I could see that. I think 5'9", 5'10" might be a little bit more realistic. But, you know, remember, they're wearing wrestling boots. And wrestling boots do have, you know, rubber underneath them. So, you know, it does give you another inch or two. So she could, I think 5'9", 5'10" is very, very legit. But she ain't 5'7". There ain't no fucking way. Unless she had like one of those retro 1970s Kiss boots on. Remember the group Kiss back in the 70s used to wear those giant platform shoes? I don't think she's wearing that. So, all right. Let's start bringing this home. If you want to get a good chuckle, just go on Google and just type in Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey versus Damage Control. I know we've talked about this before, but there's a couple of big news outlets out there reporting, like, even top five or top 10 list of matches that were changed for WrestleMania. And they're bringing up LA Knight versus Steve Austin. They're bringing up this. They're bringing up, and none of these matches were ever seriously considered for WrestleMania. So if you go check them out, and listen, look at Damage Control tonight. I don't have any problem with the group. I understand a lot of people feel they have underwhelmed. Could you imagine if they still would have gone with Damage Control versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler? I almost get Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, Steve Austin, guest referee, WrestleMania vibes. I mean, who really would have been over out of any of them? And I think the fans would have crapped on this match like no other. Trish Stratus versus Bayley was never considered for WrestleMania one-on-one. But it's pretty funny to see all of the matches. You look back at the last 7-8 months, all of the matches that were never, ever considered that people were throwing out there. It's pretty funny when you look back on it. Before we get into ratings, little plug, and this is pretty cool. Your next episode of This Week in Wrestling History, these are just a couple of photos from that episode. And yes, a lot of WrestleManias went down this week, but we will revisit Bret Hart versus Steve Austin. AWA versus WWF Forbidden Door. Nick Bockwinkel, who was the AWA heavyweight champion at the time, took on Bob Backlund, who was the WWF champion. We did have Forbidden Doors back in the day. Sherry reuniting with Shawn Michaels for one night. The first ever WWE draft. Remember the draft? The awesome, memorable Hall of Fame ceremonies, as you could see in the picture. This week in history was the birth of JBL, and I don't mean out of his mom's womb. I'm talking about the character. Those infamous TV guides that I think I still have on my desk here somewhere. I think this is one of them right here. Oh, no, these are the NWO ones. I think a lot of you remember a while back I had these TV guides. They're still sitting on my desk. I don't get time to clean off my desk. But the infamous kiss. Remember when Mickie James kissed an unconscious Trish Stratus? That happened this week in history. Also, an ultimate surprise that was a complete disaster in WCW. We're not talking about the Ultimate Warrior. If you are questioning why Christian is shown there, you got to check it out. You know, Steve Austin showering the corporation with beer. That also happened. Plus, you know, something else. And, you know, this is actually news this week. If you all want to see the synopsis, you could pause this and look at it later on. But those are other topics. Some pretty wild ones. The story about GLAAD being angry at John Cena for bullying hyper masculinity. If you don't know what that's about, you got to tune into the episode. But, you know, little news tidbit. We found out, what the hell happened here? Okay. We found out that Goldberg, he's no longer under WWE contract. That actually happened a couple of days ago. Goldberg is officially no longer under WWE contract right now. Do you know that is almost to the day, this week in wrestling history, Goldberg signed with WWE 20 years ago, almost on the 20-year anniversary of Goldberg signing with WWE, he is no longer on the WWE contract. I just wanted to share that because I know some people reported that he is no longer on the WWE contract, but it was this week in history that he signed with WWE. It's the 20-year anniversary of Goldberg signing with WWE. Just figured I'd share that. Let me tell you something. Even though Goldberg is no longer under WWE contract, that does not mean that he doesn't appear in Saudi Arabia. If Saudi Arabia wants Goldberg that bad and he's still in good shape and they think, WWE thinks that he could do something, Goldberg, WWE will work out a deal with him even if it's just for that one match. You know, understand, even if Goldberg is a Saudi Arabia exclusive, that could happen. And there's no reason why it can't happen. There's no falling out. You know, yesterday we talked about the Bellas exit from WWE And that was kind of a rocky exit. And a lot of it was, you know, Nikki Bella opening up her mouth. Tamron Hall. That was the dagger. Tamron Hall's appearance, that appearance on Tamron Hall pretty much sealed the Bella's fate in WWE. But let me also share with you something else. Vicky Guerrero. We'll leave it with this. Mention some ratings quick and get out of here. Vicky Guerrero stirred up some controversy today. We'll talk about it on Wednesday because she's been with AEW, so it's more of an AEW story. She posted a cryptic tweet today talking about how, you know, in fact, you know what I'll do? I don't have the actual tweet in front of me, but I will pull it up because it's definitely worth me bringing up. And we can actually tease a little preview on Wednesday. Here, I'm pulling up. Okay. This is the cryptic tweet that she said today. She posted a picture. And the picture says, listen closely, never beg for a seat when you could build your own table. Read that again. Never beg for a seat when you could build your own table. Then she writes on Twitter, life lesson. Don't waste your time in a place that you are not appreciated or respected. That is all. Carry on. People are running with this, thinking that because she recently exited AEW, that this is a shot at AEW saying that she was not wanted and this, this, and that. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to think about this, talk about it more on Wednesday, but I think that might have just been a message to the Bellas. That might have been a message to the Bellas, basically like, look, if you don't feel you're appreciated, if you don't feel that, then exit. You know, don't beg for a seat at the table. And if you tuned into yesterday's show, you know what I was talking about as far as what they wanted at Raw 30 and what they actually were offered. I have a feeling this is not Vicky Guerrero taking a shot at her AEW career or current status. This might have been an inspirational message to the Bellas. I honestly think that that's what that was. But because Vicky didn't specify, you know, obviously people are abuzz about it. If I get more actual news about that, I'll let you know. So, Roderick, I don't think Tamron Hall is on an anti-WWE mission. I think she's just looking for ratings. You know, Mandy Rose's appearance was not controversial. But, you know, with all due respect to Tamron Hall, the reason why I thought she was a moron doing that interview is because Mandy Rose got away with saying, like, this came out of nowhere and, you know, I would have taken this down and said, and, you know, that is very true. But what is also true is WWE has told all the wrestlers, male and female, in the past, you know, what you can and cannot do with the social media and the line that crosses. And when she's showing camel toe and she's showing a lot, you know, if she was not sure if this was okay for WWE, she never went to WWE and said, is this all right? Is it all right if I show part of my lips? You know, if you know what I mean? Is it all right if I do this? And I love Mandy Rose, one of my favorites. But let's be honest, her playing Babes in the Woods act that she had no idea what she was doing was over the top, and I would have removed it. She knew what she was doing, and she knew that it was an issue. And she went as far as she could and rolled the dice, and unfortunately she was let go. But Tamron Hall never questioning, like, you know, did you ever ask WWE, is this okay? Or did you run it by them that you were going to do this? Nothing. Nothing. It was just play the victim role. And then Nikki Bella just took that and put it on steroids. You know, victim, 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 victim. Women's movement, pushback. As I said yesterday, some women in WWE were not happy with Nikki Bella. Because they know at the end of the day, Nikki Bella is about pushing the Nikki Bella brand. And this was not necessarily for, oh, looking out for women. Because if that was the case, where the fuck is Nikki Bella's tirades about AEW and their use, lack of use for women on a Wednesday? You know, I mean, yeah, Raw 30, like, oh, women's are going backwards, and we're where we were 30 years ago. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but still, you know, Nikki opened her mouth, and WWE's like, look, we don't need this. Leave. And you can't use the Bella name anymore. So, you know, tune into yesterday's episode if you want more of that. All right, let's wrap this up. We got ratings. We have some very interesting stuff. And I had a few of you asking me, DT, what was the rating for Mercedes Moné, the former Sasha Banks, versus Kyrie? That aired on New Japan Television. You know, not everybody ordered the pay-per-view. And it was hyped up for 2 weeks that Mercedes versus Kyrie was going to be on New Japan TV. How did that rating do? Well, I got you everything. All right. Let's do a little organized here. Okay, Raw last week, 1,705,000. That is down from the prior week's 1,827,000. The high point of last week was Cody Rhodes' promo in a backstage segment with The Miz and Seth Rollins. That did 1,904,000. Last week's low, which we talked about earlier, was Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa. That did 1,457,000. Not very good. Not their fault. Hour three. We don't need to repeat it. MLW last week. And next week, we'll do a little bit of a deep dive with this. This is 3 weeks now. 3 weeks that Reels pulled all their advertising for MLW. Last week, they did 53,000 viewers, slightly up from the week prior's 47,000. If you look at the ratings, I mean, when you got places adding in California, West Coast, I mean, the number is so fucking low now that they actually are adding in West Coast. They can't even do that anymore because last week's MLW on the West Coast did 8,000 viewers. If you think that is low, we'll bring up next week what that rating was a month earlier. They lost about 80, 90% of their West Coast viewers. I mean, it's sad, but they only have, I think, 4 weeks left, 3 or 4 weeks left, and MLW is off reels. You know, nobody wants to touch this because they like Court Bauer and they, you know the deal. All right, NXT last week did 590. That is down from the week prior's 624. The high point last week was the backstage segments with JD McDonagh and Ilya Dragunov. They are actually going to have a match on NXT tomorrow, and people are really looking forward to that match. I can't believe that that is not happening at Stand and Deliver unless they're going to be part of Wes Lee's open challenge or he gets to choose his opponents for Stand and Deliver. I'll give you a preview for NXT and Dynamite in a second, then we'll jet. But that package last week, also the segment with Bron Breakker and the D'Angelo family, and the backstage segment with Ava Raine and Chase University, that did 618,000 viewers. The low point last week, unfortunately, Katana Chance and Kanan Carter continue their very disappointing ratings. Almost every week now, the quarters they're featured in are the lowest. There was one exception not too long ago. That quarter last week did 566. But you know what? Not a big drop. So it's not bad, but it was the lowest part of last week. Last week's Dynamite did 852,000 viewers. That's down from the week prior's 858. I do believe the rating will rebound this week, and it's not because Sting is going to wrestle. It's not because El Hijo del Vikingo versus Kenny Omega, which we talked in detail about yesterday. But I think just overall, I think the vibe is, you know, starting to get a little bit back with AEW. I think AEW breaks 900,000 viewers tomorrow. I definitely think that. But last week they did 852. Their high point of the night outside of quarter one was the Four Pillars. Darby, Sammy Guevara, MJF, and Jungle Boy in the ring together. That did 957. The low part of the night was Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Ray Phoenix, their backstage segments, and the first half of the main event, the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Elite versus the House of Black. That did 779,000 viewers. So very disappointing, especially that it's only a two-hour show compared to a three-hour show. New Japan last week did 44,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 48,000. And for everybody who is asking me, what did Mercedes Moné versus Kairi Sane draw? They drew 63,000 viewers. Just a little added tidbit. The week before Mercedes versus Kairi, that did 41,000 viewers. The week after, their match did 48,000 viewers. So they caused a 20,000 viewership increase for their match. So take that however you want. But that should show you that if Mercedes Moné and Kairi couldn't get more than 20,000 more viewers to tune in, you know, Access TV is not a channel that is limited to a very small group of people out there. The fact that it's still doing these horrible numbers just tells you that on American soil, New Japan is just, people are not interested. Very, very small interest in their TV show. And even when Impact did Forbidden Door last year, it didn't really affect the ratings in any positive way. You look at before their involvement on AEW TV and afterwards, you didn't get any bump. You didn't get anybody that bounced from AEW. You would think AEW viewers would tune into New Japan, and they don't. And they don't. All right. Impact Wrestling last week did 91,000 viewers. That is slightly up than the week prior's 85,000. Rampage this past Friday did 474,000 viewers. That is slightly up from the week prior's 447. Now, we don't have the high and low points for this past Friday because it just happened 72 hours ago. I will tell you that the week prior, Sammy Guevara versus Action Andretti was the high point at 519. The low point of the night was Riho versus Nyla Rose, did 398,000 viewers. And yes, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but Riho on Rampage, she's been there, I think, two of the three most recent Rampages, and she's had the lowest quarter of her appearances for both shows. SmackDown last week did 2,258,000. That is down from the week prior's 2,320,000. But SmackDown's numbers of any wrestling show on TV, SmackDown is the most consistent. They keep their audience. It goes up, it goes down. The most 100,000 viewers, people usually just stay tuned. Even when you look at the high and low points of the shows, not drastic differences. The week prior, the high point of the night was Cody Rhodes and the Usos, and when Sami Zayn made the save, 2,384,000 viewers. The low point of that night, Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Viking Raiders, that did 2,235,000. So not a big difference in the numbers. Raw is the one that kills it. Hour three is a killer. I mean, again, as we said earlier, the ratings for hour three is still a very good number to have for 10 to 11 p.m. at night. But on the overall scope, wrestling fans in droves, it is very, very rare that you get to maintain your audience throughout hour number three, no matter what you put on. And tonight's hour three, I think, was probably one of the stronger ones in recent memory, because a lot of what we've had on Raw with Cody Rhodes, that's happened in hour two or the opening. Very rare you get it at the end, but they need, obviously, leading into WrestleMania, same thing next week. You got to have Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes going off the air next Monday. I mean, if Roman has to appear next Monday, I would think. But it is very interesting to see, and I am very curious to see what Roman Reigns does for tonight's rating, how much it actually affects the quarter hour. So, all right, before I get out of here, I would want to give a super shout out and a plug. Misfit Thor, people that say a women's match hasn't main evented since Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky are wrong. Sasha versus Bianca Belair, night one at WrestleMania 37. Yeah, I mean, and that was the right way to go. Sasha Banks versus Bianca was a nice feud at the time. I mean, my God, when Bianca and Sasha were having those segments, and then didn't they do the following year, didn't they win an award at like ESPN's awards or something? That feud, that moment, the history. I still remember when Bianca won and Sasha rolled out of the ring and she was on the ground and she was smiling and she was very emotional. Everything about that felt right. It didn't feel forced. I don't recall that year me saying to my, it was only 2 years ago, but I don't remember that night saying, you know, this shouldn't have main evented. No, it just felt right. And I don't expect WWE to put a match on to close out night one just to score political points with people online that even if you make them happy with that, they will turn around and they will shit on something else. You can't please everyone all the time. All I know is that Charlotte and Rhea are going to have a great match at Mania. Becky, Lita, and Trish versus Damage Control is going to be a whole lot of fun, a lot of nostalgia as well. Very, very important match, you know, passing the torch in some way. And remember, after Mania, Lita's still a tag team champion, so she's going to stay a little bit longer. And then you look at the women having a fatal four-way with tag teams. You got that match. Then you think you still got Asuka and Bianca. You know, we have a decent number of matches. You don't need to force things because most of the people that you're pleasing are going to find something to complain about anyway. You put on which makes sense. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos, it's not a male or a female thing. It's just the ratings, the emotion, the storyline, the build, the quality, everything. And listen to that pop when they hugged on Friday. You know, it was loud. It was emotional. You know, people pop. You know, you pop. But there's not many times where you have that deep emotional tie with it. When they win the tag titles, somebody photoshopped a photo earlier. I can't wait to use it on these shows. But it's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Cody Rhodes in the ring together, all holding the titles. And yes, I could actually see night two, all three of those guys in the ring, that they get involved in some way with the main event. Maybe the Usos try to get involved to try to help Roman and Kevin Owens and Sami come out. If Solo Sikoa tries to get involved, we'll see if Matt Riddle makes his return. But we could end up, after night two, going off the air with all three of those guys in the ring with all the gold. And it'll be a fun moment. It'll be a very fun moment. So happy 25th month anniversary for Rojo Bear and Roger Rubio as well. Rogers had, I think, 25 months yesterday, and I forgot to shout him out. So just remembered it now. So thank you for always supporting the channel. Everyone out there, thank you for always supporting what I do. I'm going to jet out of here in a moment. NXT tomorrow. Oh, and you know, I might as well give you this too. Main event matches tonight. We had Shelton Benjamin. Hold on. I got it right here. Let's pull up your matches for tonight. Here you go. Main event matches from tonight. Here we go. Bronson Reed over Nathan Frazier. And we had Shelton Benjamin over Charlie Dempsey, William Regal's son. NXT tomorrow, we have Ilya Dragunov versus JD McDonagh, which is going to be amazing. And I'm shocked it's not a match to stand and deliver. So, but they will be on that card. We will have two ladder match qualifiers for the women's match at Stand and Deliver, the ladder match for the women's championship. Tiffany Stratton will take on Indy Hartwell tomorrow. And Lyra Valkyria versus Wendy Chu in a qualifier. So I think we all agree it's probably going to be Tiffany Stratton and Lyra advancing. A lot of people think that Tiffany Stratton is destined to be your next champion. You know, I don't want to rehash the Roxanne Perez discussion last Wednesday, but again, that storyline, I don't care if it reminisces 1995 Shawn Michaels, very, very, I don't know, just not well done, you know. All right. Chase University and the Schism will have a debate whatever. And that's what's advertised for tomorrow. Wednesday's AEW. We got Kenny Omega versus El Hijo del Vikingo. We have Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin, and Sting taking on the Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian. Hook taking on Stokely Hathaway. And the Ass Boys will be defending the AEW Tag Team Championships against Top Flight. That is what is advertised as of this show, this recording. So I will be doing a show on Wednesday. There was some debate yesterday if I would possibly take the night off, but I will do a small episode on Wednesday. We'll definitely got a few topics to get into. We definitely have to address that robots thing that's been brought back. I don't know why, but we have to do that. So everyone, thank you as always for joining me on Monday. If you are a part of our Patreon family, I will be live Tuesday night at 10:05. It's going to be, I don't remember. I think it's a regular episode. I don't know if it's off the cuff, but we'll definitely talk a little bit more as far as, you know, if and when we do another show together, Kevin, I, and everybody here. You know, if you want another episode with us, let us know. You know, speak out, because that's the only way we're going to do it. If there's enough demand for it, you know, we had a great show, and, you know, we'll see. But we don't want, you know, people to start expecting it all the time, because when it doesn't happen, you know, we don't need to, oh, what's going on, and isn't it? So, but I appreciate all the response so far. You can catch that episode at DonTony.com. And no, it will not be on YouTube. I have said this 10 times already. It will not be a YouTube show. Number one, we have more intros that we want to use, and we'll get hit with copyrights. And I know what some people are going to say, oh, just put it on without an intro. Nah. You know, it's going to stay on DonTony.com. It's the better to do it there. Plus, if we do more episodes, I am not pressuring this guy to do video, and I ain't doing a split screen with a graphic on one side and me on the other. So there's not going to be a video element for it. But if we do another one, you know, we'll definitely let everybody know. But, you know, maybe we do one before WrestleMania again. Maybe we do a predictions one. We're not going to do one live because I think he's does it with the soup guys. I'm not going to get involved with that. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. Enjoy the rest of your week, and definitely post your feedback. Always welcomed, always appreciated, and you have a good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.